This is Jane McGonigal, the author of Super Better and a big fan of the Psych Tech Podcast. You're listening to Psych Tech Podcast, where you will get the future of psychology and technology.
Welcome to Psych Tech, the Psychology and Technology Podcast. I am one of your two hosts, Josue Cardona, and with me is Kelly Dunlap.
In the house.
Woo-hoo. All right, I need your help, Kelly.
Okay.
I'm going to try to stop saying that I feel like I live in the future.
Okay. Okay?
Because we live in the future, okay?
Yes.
And in a couple weeks, I'm getting my first VR headset.
Ooh, the Sony?
Yep, I'm going PlayStation VR. There are reasons why I selected that one. It was a very long selection process. Actually, it wasn't. I mean, there are very clear factors for why I did that. Price, quality, all of these things, because there's more than one VR headset out there. And, you know, but it was kind of a commitment in terms of unless you're, you know, you have tons of money to just throw around. On a lot of these expensive consumer electronics, you have to choose, right? Just mm-hmm. like kind of your cell phone, right? And more of these things are becoming ecosystems. So right now, I have another very important decision to make, and I'm going to commit to getting into one artificial intelligence ecosystem. And I'm not sure which one. So I kind of want to talk this through with you.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really great opportunity because I know very little about the differences between the different AIs. So hopefully my questions to you will help bring out all those wonderful little facts that you know. Because they always say, you know, if you can teach somebody, then you really understand the material.
That's right. Whew. All right. So what is your experience? I mean, we've kind of touched on this in the past, maybe more on the like console side of things, right? But like, what experience do you have with any sort of either virtual assistant or AI? So I can kind of get an idea.
Well, there's two main ones. One, of course, is Siri. I'm a Mac iPhone person, so working with Siri. And the other one I have is my Xbox. I don't actually have Cortana. I don't have that update. So I just have the voice recognition system in the Xbox, which I don't know if that's stretching the idea of a smart AI. It might be a dumb AI, but those are pretty much the two that I've used.
Yeah, I forgot that Cortana isn't on the Xbox yet, but it's coming soon.
Very soon.
Yeah, and I have the Cortana app on my phone, on my iPhone, and I have Cortana on my PC, which I don't use very often, which is one of the reasons why, and really other than the Xbox and a PC, which is actually, you know, so some people may have an Xbox as their main entertainment hub and use PCs. And in that sense, wow, like they're in that ecosystem, and Cortana could be a very big part of that person's life
mm-hmm.
just because they're the ones that, you know, Cortana's going to take notes for you. Cortana is turning on and off devices in your living room, at least, right? Not so much in your home. But there's a lot that Cortana can do kind of as a personal assistant, right? But definitely Cortana is not in the works for me because, like, I don't have my Kinect hooked up. I don't and I don't use my PC anymore, really. Like you, I've gone way deeper into the Apple ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, so now, like you mentioned, so we both have iPhones, right? So we use Siri there. And do you have a Mac?
I have many, many Macs.
Okay. So, you know, Siri just was just added to macOS Sierra, which means that Siri can do all the stuff that she was doing on your phone. She can do a lot of that stuff on the computer now too. Have you messed around with that?
I haven't. The laptop that I have that I use most of the time is old and continuing to putter along. And once the new MacBooks come out, apparently sometime this month. They haven't announced it, but it's time.
For the pros.
Yeah. So I'll be getting a new one. So, I mean, I don't even have the latest OS on my laptop because it can't handle it. So, So I have that one. I also have the family desktop, which I use for my game design stuff. But I haven't messed around with it quite yet.
Gotcha. And it's weird to have the AI there.
Have you gotten to use it?
A little bit, you know? Like instead of going into Spotlight and typing something, I can just say, hey, Siri, open this or find that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of cool. But it is something that I'm still kind of getting used to. And I think that the reason why it's kind of weird, right now is that like we're so used to not having Siri there, and now Siri's there. So there's still an adjustment period, and there isn't necessarily like an obvious value added to it. Like actually, Microsoft did a really interesting thing with the Xbox at first, which is there were things in the menu that were really hard to find. So it just made a lot more sense to talk to the system.
Yes.
Than actually go through the menu. And whether that was on purpose or not, I think it was a good move. And with my phone, I'm feeling that way more and more. And with a few other things, you know, we've talked about conversational interfaces, and I see that type of thing coming up way, way more now. Not just conversational in terms of like a chatbot and writing, but just how much easier it is to say, go here, do that, and it happens. And so there are a few different options. I think I'm ready to take the plunge because I want more of that in my life.
Yeah, at least as far as Siri is concerned, I like using it with my phone. I actually use it a lot when I lose my phone. I'll just yell, hey, Siri. My phone just lit up. I was like, oh my gosh, don't say anything. And she didn't. But as a way to find it, because I lose it really frequently. So if she beeps at me.
Hi, Kelly.
There we go. She's a little slow this morning. I almost said the same thing to
say hello to it. And it's good that I didn't because my phone is right here too. Yeah. I'm not going to say the thing.
But yeah, like driving is probably the number one way. You know, we'll all say, hey, what, you know, do I have any text messages? Can you read to me my last text message? Can you get directions to this place? And that's probably the number one way that I use her, because I've tried, you know, setting alarms and stuff like that. And I don't know, there's something at least specifically about an alarm that I want to do manually. I want to see it and physically move, or sort of physically move that slider over, so that I know that it's, you know, I guess it's a trust issue. I guess I don't trust her. Probably because a lot of the time she doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Something is pretty funny. Every time I hear somebody say that Siri is a she, I remember that the default is a female voice because I use the male British version of Siri at all times. So it's like I have my own Alfred at all times.
Is he still called Siri?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I still say, hey, you.
Hey, and, insert name here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And and he's very clever and very helpful. And actually on alarms, it's one of the things that I've been using it the most. So for me, this all started like I'm walking. I just tap my headphones and I ask, you know, what time is it? And now lately I'll like put something on the stove and I'll just say, hey, remind me in 5 minutes to turn off the stove. And it works so well now that I've finally gotten to that point where I trust it. You know, all of these things are important because like you, I did not trust that they would understand exactly what I was saying. And as I'm building that trust, now I feel like taking, you know, a deeper dive. And that's actually been working really well for me. The other day, I actually made a calendar. I think it was for last week. I said, add to the calendar a recording with Kelly at whatever time. And it asked me which Kelly. And then on the screen, it showed me three different Kellys to choose from. And I tried to keep going with that. And I said the second one. And mm-hmm. then it chose you. And I don't remember if it sent you a notification or not. I didn't follow up. But I know it knew exactly, you know, it looked at my contacts, it added you, and it worked really, really well. You know, I feel like I'm at the point where it works so well that I'm starting to forget how bad it used to be at recognizing my voice.
Yeah, I'm still at the I don't trust you. You don't recognize my words a lot of the time, or especially when I'm, well, difficult words. So, for example, the pediatrician that I've been going to, they recently changed offices, and they're now on a street called, well, I pronounce it Quince, but that's because I grew up in Arizona. Most people out here in Maryland pronounce it Quince. It's Q-U-I-N-C-E. Mm-hmm. So when I asked my digital assistant here to get directions to, you know, whatever the address is on Quince Orchard, it cannot do it. It was like K-E-Y and S-E-Y, and it was really, really frustrating. And so I had to like actually stop and put in the directions, which I feel like every time I have an experience like that, it takes me two or three steps back in terms of wanting to trust it. And I think I have a struggle with this with the Xbox too, because it doesn't listen all the time. And I feel like that's, at least for me, the big threshold is that it has to work at least 90% of the time. Otherwise, it's probably just going to be faster for me to do it manually. So I don't think that anything I have is quite at that threshold yet. So I'm using it probably minimally. But I do look forward to a future where I can just say what I want and it does it.
And I think I've read research on kind of that number, like 90 something percent is kind of where you're at, where you stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I'm not making that up. But it's really important, right? If you hit that button, you know that the thing is going to happen. And if it doesn't, then you're right. You don't trust it. It's no good. And that's the reason, it's one of the reasons why I don't have my Kinect hooked up, because it just, for me, it works better than it does for a friend of mine, but it still wasn't that great. And yeah, Siri could still do better, right? But it's getting there. And there are small things that I really like. So the two that I'm going to give an honorable mention to Google. Okay, because Google does have voice recognition and kind of OK Google support in a lot of different apps. So even if you have an iPhone, you can have a lot of the OK Google stuff built in. And now in a couple weeks, they should be announcing that's something that's kind of like a lamp. I think it's called Google Home or a Home Base or something like that. And it would be a physical, you know, out there in your home version of Google's AI. But I don't want to do that yet just because it's still new and I don't have an Android phone, even though I do use Google a lot. So that's just an honorable mention. Do you ever use the Google one at all?
No, I actually didn't even know that they had one.
Yep.
That's how reliant I am on Siri.
Gotcha. Yeah, no. And that's kind of what happens when you're, you know, in an ecosystem. And so that one, whatever. I don't think I'm going to go there. I don't think I would even want the Google thing at home, so it could control different things, because the Amazon Echo with Alexa is really, really impressive.
Yeah, I really want to try that one. I haven't had the opportunity, but Amazon seems to do pretty much everything well. And mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't heard anything bad about it, but I haven't heard anything good about it either. So I think it's still in that neutral territory where I want to try it.
So Amazon is doing a lot of things right. First of all, they have their Echo, which is about $180 right now. And, you know, that's some money, right? But they also have something called the Echo Dot. And that's a $50 version. And they actually sell them in packs now. So you can buy five and get one free. And the idea is that
you can have them in different rooms?
Yep, that's the idea. So, and now it's set up in a way that it knows by proximity which one you're closest to, so that they're all not going off at the same time.
So what is the difference between the Echo and the Dot?
The Echo has a built-in large speaker. So it looks like a tower, and it can play music, you know, in a larger space. And that's pretty much it, because it really is just an interface. It's connected to your Wi-Fi and it's connected online. They both have an array of seven microphones on the top that, you know, like in a circle. So it's very good at picking up your voice and doing noise canceling and understanding you, even, you know, if there's music playing or other things going on. And that's built into both of them. So it's pretty funny because the Echo just, it's a dot without the speaker, with a speaker in the middle of it, like sandwiched in.
So an extra $80 gets you a speaker.
An extra $130 gets you a speaker. And so the dot is set up in a way where you can just plug that into another speaker. It actually has a small speaker still. And so you can do cool things like connect your phone to it and then just play your music from there, right? Mm-hmm. So you could use anything. You could use them as Bluetooth speakers.
I was going to ask if Bluetooth enabled.
Yep. Yep. So you would just use the Echo as a big, it's supposed to be a much better speaker. So, and that includes Alexa's voice. So when Alexa's speaking to you, it's a lot clearer, it's bigger, things like that. Because the idea is you're having a conversation with Alexa. The Dot is more automated. And if for a smaller space, the speaker that it has built in is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so it's been around for a while, and Amazon's Echo and Alexa, they have these things called skills. So these are all these small software programs that will run through a conversational interface and help you out with stuff or just do stupid stuff. So like one of the sillier ones, but probably useful, is a Twitter skill that it has. So you can just say, hey, Alexa, what's going on? Like, what's trending on Twitter right now? And she'll just start reading tweets, for example. Mm-hmm. But you can also do all sorts of home automation and things like that. Okay. Now, the reason why I've been thinking about Alexa a lot or the Echo is because my girlfriend constantly comes in and she's like, hey, what time is it? Or do you know what the weather's like? And it's gotten to a point where I'm like, I'm not your Siri. I'm not your, like, why don't you just pick up the phone? And she's like, no, but like, you're on your phone. You're doing this. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah. I think it's a habit. Like, I've done it. I'm like, you know, sweetie, what, is it supposed to rain today? And he'll just look at me and then pick up his phone and go, hey, Siri, is it supposed to rain today? I'm like, yeah, I could probably do that.
So I've noticed that I've been getting a little more annoyed about the asking for time and and the weather and things like that. So at first I thought it would be funny to just buy a Dot, for example, for $50, put it there, and then kind of remind my girlfriend, you can just ask Alexa. Like, you know, I am not your virtual assistant. But the more I thought about it and the more I looked into it, the more excited I got about it. So I kind of really like the idea of having this home-based AI, right? Where you just walk in and you can do things like, you know, depending on what other devices you have in the home, you can say, turn off the lights, turn it on, put some music on. Just to put some music on thing is really exciting, because if you have Amazon Prime, you have access to Amazon Music, so you can just tell it to play whatever and it'll play it. And that's kind of cool. You can say, you can order a pizza, you can order an Uber, you can do all sorts of stuff just by telling Alexa, because it has all these skills that companies are building out. Check your bank account, do things like that, and it'll just tell you. And although Alexa is also open to third parties, so they could potentially have different devices. Like, I'm assuming a car company could build Alexa into their car, and then you could kind of connect your accounts. I'm sure, you know, there'll be more integration with phones that aren't necessarily an Amazon phone or a Fire device. So mainly it's the Echo that Amazon has, but it's been around enough. There are enough skills there where I think it would be really useful. I think it's one of those things that could actually change the way you do things at home.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had a chance to use an Alexa, but this is some place where the Xbox has actually done a pretty good job when it actually listens. It listens to my husband really, really well. For me, it's hit or miss, which that's a different topic. But, you know, when I'm getting the kiddo ready to go, you know, Ellie is our beagle and she has some anxiety issues. So when I leave, I always make sure that the TV is on so that there's, you know, there's noise and there's background stuff going on. And it's really, really great to be, you know, in the kitchen fixing a bottle and just tell the Xbox, hey, you know, and even something like Xbox on, and then it turns on and it turns the TV on and turns the surround sound on and, you know, go to Netflix or watch TV. And it is so... It is, I guess, such an integral part of my life. I have not seen our TV remote in about 2 years.
Okay. Okay.
So that is one place I would say I have used AI, and it's just such a part of my existence that I don't even remember how I did it before.
Okay. See, this is exactly the type of thing I wanted to hear, because that's my assumption is that these things will change the way people do things, you know, little by little. The day that, you know, just a new integration comes into the Xbox, then that's something new that you could do that you couldn't do before. Like, I don't know, you know, I don't know how precise you can go if it's, you know, if you can say, you know, put on Blue's Clues, you know, and it'll just find it on Netflix and go and put it on. And then while you're still in the kitchen or somewhere else in the house, that sounds like it would be really helpful. Because you don't have to, you can actually kind of do two things at once. It is assisting you in with a few things, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it might seem like a little thing, but, you know, if you're feeding an infant at 2 o'clock in the morning and you want to turn something on, but you don't want to disturb them, or, you know, pre-kiddo, I'd be sitting on the couch and I'd have a dog on one half of my lap and a cat on the other. And as everybody knows, you know, there's a rule that if there's a pet on your lap, you can't get up. You have to stay there. Until they're done with you. So just being able to, you know, turn the Xbox on, change the channel, go to Netflix, pick a movie, stop, rewind, fast forward, you know, all those kinds of entertainment style things that you do. And you don't have to get up, which I, at one point I feel like feels really lazy. But on the other hand, it's more efficient. You know, you don't have to go find the remote. You don't have to wonder where it got left off. You don't have to worry about putting new batteries in it. You know, it is just making my life a little bit easier. And I know that I'm going to want that further in life when the stuff gets more responsive. Because again, the Xbox has some limited functionality and doesn't always listen as well as it could. So I wouldn't trust the Xbox to set like my wake up reminder or to remind me about a super important doctor's visit, but I totally trust it to navigate to Netflix for me.
Right. And on entertainment, it's fantastic. And it does have an IR blaster, right? The Kinect. So potentially it could do some sort of home automation if it used a remote. Like maybe, like I know the air conditioner I have in my living room uses an infrared remote, so I could potentially program it if it allowed it, right, to accept the on command from the remote. I could just say, Xbox, you know, turn on the AC, and it could just blast that and turn it on. And Alexa is kind of built with that, you know, that's what it's for. It's built to, there's a lot of home automation stuff, so there could just be so much like, oh, I forgot to turn off the lights, like turn off the lights, do this. But there's also, you know, to move away from the Wall-E comparisons, it does have like a workout app, right? So it could kind of coach you through a workout. And while you're doing that, you could still be doing things like, okay, hey, like turn off the oven, or remind me to turn off the oven in a half hour, or remind me to call mom, you know, at 4 o'clock and ask her about this. And while you're still like, Alexa is helping you or coaching you through this workout, or it might be a different integration or a different voice, but you could still do all these things without having to leave your workout, or maybe you're just on the treadmill or something like that. And yeah, like just imagine adding more and more of that and having that trust. I think, damn, I really like it. Really like it.
it sounds good. The idea that you could be using your example in the living room, working out to whatever it is you're doing, and then you could say, hey, you know, set the oven to preheat to 400 degrees and start defrosting the chicken, and, you know, show me the baby monitor and turn the washer on. I mean, that's that kind of stuff. I can definitely see that just becoming a natural part of our existence as kind of day-to-day life. And that's really exciting, because then I feel like you have more time to do what you want to do. And even if it's just a second here, a second there, those seconds add up. So if I can spend an extra 30 seconds with my little potato when he's being good, you know, then I want to do that. When he's not being good, yeah, you know, I might be okay. But especially when he's being all cute and cooey and stuff, that, you know, that there are more important things in life than, you know, doing the laundry. I mean, it's important, but there are other things that I think are more critical to your happiness as a human being.
And because it, the way that Amazon is doing it, there's an open API. So people, every day there are new skills and you can program your own. There are trivia games. There are choose your own adventure games.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you could create your own stuff, something that you might, you know, need or want. You could actually write up the skill through Alexa and it would work. And I think, you know, if you have a house where you went and you bought the six pack, right, and you have it in every room, I think it would be really interesting. It recognizes different voices too, so I think it does really well with that type of thing. It's built with a family in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it would know how you say something versus how your husband or your kids would do it. And then it starts collecting those words. Like there's all these things that it does. It's kind of built from the ground up for that purpose. And they keep updating it and it's kind of cool. So Amazon Echo and the Dot, you know, is a contender for me right now.
All right. Well, what's next up on your potential list?
And so the only other one really is Siri. Now, the way I feel about the iPhone right now is that the way Apple is doing things, I feel like my phone is incomplete, right?
Okay, say more about that.
Yeah, well, this is a good example. If you have Amazon Prime,
which I do,
there are all of these things that you may not use, right? That are additional features. So there is, they just added a Twitch perk, right? Like mm-hmm. a lot of people don't use the video game streaming service Twitch. But if you do, that's an extra perk that you have without having to pay anything extra. You get Amazon Video for free. So are are people watching the free movies and TV shows available on Amazon Prime Video as Prime members? Maybe, maybe not. But if you don't have a device that can play that app, then you can't watch it. And the same thing with Amazon Music. If you didn't download the Amazon Music app on your phone, then you have a music subscription service already part of your thing. Like, do you use all of these things?
I do the Netflix streaming, the video, and Twitch just came out. So I'm sure, exactly. We're going to be doing that. Audible, I use that because Amazon Audible together. I have the Audible subscription through that, but not the music. So I feel I feel like every day there's something new that Amazon does that I didn't know about. So, you know, the Mechanical Turk thing, even though that's not an app necessarily, it's still a really cool thing that they offer that I don't think anybody else does. Or even something as simple as, you know, when I was pregnant, they had if you put a certain amount of certain things on your baby registry, you got this Amazon sample pack. And they just sent you a bunch of samples of different baby-related stuff. And you got that as a Prime member is because that's part of it.
Yeah, yeah. And so once I find out about these new things, I'm like, wait a minute. But okay, so I want to use the music service. I'm essentially paying for it, right? So I would go out and get the app or try to find some way to do that, right? So like right now I can't use Amazon Video on an Apple TV, but I use it through another device, right? So, but now I feel like I use it. So with the phone, with the iPhone in particular and iOS, I'm starting to feel kind of that, like I'm missing out on some of the features. Like it feels incomplete now. And I feel like to have the complete experience or what they're building toward is actually the new AirPod, which is like wireless headphones, and the watch and the phone together is the full experience.
Mm-hmm.
So because now we think about an app, right, and the way it looks, and we try to design that visually, but now we're really talking about that conversational interface or making it very, very simple. So if I don't have to, you know, there's a simpler way to check the weather, right? It's just ask Siri. There's a simpler way to see certain information. That's just looking down at your phone. And that idea of having all those things together and then the AirPods, which are, again, these very small wireless earbuds, they work in a very cool way in that once you pair it with your phone, every other Apple device that you have is automatically paired with it. So you can be sitting on your computer and talk to Siri through your headset, which is, it actually knows when you're moving your mouth. So then it kind of cancels all other information and it will listen to you. So you don't have to yell like you would with, you know, Alexa, you're like speaking out into the world so she can hear you. With the new AirPods, you can pretty much whisper, right? I read an article where it talked about you're going to have a new Siri voice, which is like a whisper, right? Because you're out in public and you don't want everybody to hear you talking to Siri, but now you're just, hey, you know, do this, like, what time is it? And you can do that really low and people will like fine tune that, you know, and the system will understand you better because it knows when you're trying to speak.
I just think that the most important, at least for me, the most important part of this is something that unifies what I have. So you mentioned that, you know, if you log in with your headphones, it automatically takes care of all of your other devices. That to me is, as lame as it sounds, one of the most exciting things. Yeah. Because I feel like I have so many devices and that they need to all be collected into one place. It's very much like the old iPhone days, where you had a phone and a camera and an address book and your computer and your email address, like all these things. And then the phone just pulled them all into one package. And it was so, so convenient and awesome like that. And I feel that's kind of the next step that I want to see, in addition to obviously the more conversation-based type of AI, is something that just brings it all together for me into one convenient place. And that place might be having an AirPod in my ear. And I can say, hey, go to Amazon, order this kind of laundry detergent, turn on the oven, close the shades, start the car, you know, like in the winter. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The remote start, I know, is a thing already, but it would be great to just, hey, start the car to a nice 72 degrees or whatever. And it all comes into one place. That's what I'm really excited about.
Yeah. And like, I use a Mac desktop and I have a Mac laptop. I have an iPhone and an iPad. Over the years, I've gone all the way in, right? And with the AirPod, I can simply, it would be really easy to switch. So I wouldn't have to change my behavior when I'm on the iPad now or on one computer or the other. I could just make sure that it'll switch very quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I'm on my iPad now. So like, open this or I can dictate something to be written down instead of having to type it out. And like you, I'm so excited by those little, that's a very small thing, but all of a sudden now all of my stuff comes together. One of them, it's silly to say it out loud, but I hate pulling my headphones out of my phone and plugging them into my iPad or my laptop or my other computer.
Yes.
Now the AirPods just stay in your ear and you just move over to the computer and now you're there. And, you know, and the watch is becoming a part of that because conversational interfaces are cool, but they're not perfect. Like, how can I, right? That moment of, remind me in 5 minutes to turn off the stove. If it heard, remind me in 5 days to turn off the stove, that's not helpful.
No.
But if you have the watch, you can just see on your watch that it understood, right? It always asks you to confirm. You know, it's like, oh, hey, look, this is what I got. I set the reminder, but it'll show you. So instead of having to pull out your phone or find your phone, you just look at your wrist to confirm. And I feel that that is like the perfect combination. You know, I find myself less and less wanting to pull my phone out of my pocket, this supercomputer. I just want to leave it there and have all these different interfaces. And companies are making watch apps and now, for example, I'm an iOS app developer now. So I have access to Siri. So I can have Siri does this, there's this cool thing where it doesn't matter what language you speak. If you speak to Siri, if Siri understands you, it will translate your intention into something that my software will understand. So it doesn't matter that I don't know Mandarin or I don't know Portuguese. That app now works with you or, you know, if you want to practice that language or if you speak that language. And those are little things that make it easier for developers to use that conversational interface to do more and more things. And now that it's open, we've only had a couple weeks since the last update for companies to do that. But already, that's really cool that there's a list of apps that support Siri. So I can just say, you know, call me an Uber and it'll call me an Uber, you know?
It reminds me a lot of the Star Trek. What is technically the term? The the intergalactic translator, or the universal translator, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's how everybody in Star Trek can understand each other, because the universal translator is just an inherent part of them as human beings. And
yes.
That's it's just so exciting, the idea of breaking down barriers and being able to communicate with people that you wouldn't have been able to communicate with before.
No, it is incredible, because even now I don't even have to use something like, I don't have to create two or three different versions of my app in writing. I can default to that conversational piece because it'll be more effective that way. Because again, that idea of, okay, their intent is this. So I'm programming, instead of specific keywords, I'm programming it to act or react upon the intent of the user. Anyway, so those are all little things that when you put them all together, I really like the idea of, see, I feel like I have this awesome phone that I use all the time, and I would use it very differently with all of these features that are now available. I mean, the AirPods will be out in a couple weeks. They're kind of expensive, but somebody who has technically four, my work computer is a Mac 2, and it doesn't sync up with the Apple TV yet, but I don't see why it wouldn't, because the new Apple TV has Siri and the remote control. So if that could also feed off of the AirPods, that would be incredible. And now it's kind of all connected, right? It's that idea of that ecosystem. And Alexa's great at home, although there is an Alexa app on your phone. I do use, like, I depend a lot on my Apple products. And so I'm torn between these two, right? It's like, it's funny. I was thinking about, like, what is this feeling? Like, I've never, because it's not just like a device. It's also kind of like a weird relationship, you know?
it's an extension of yourself.
Yeah, but I thought about it, like, maybe I've never wanted to go get a pet, but I know people who are like, I don't know what kind of pet to get. Like, I want this kind because it has this kind of temperament or this kind of behavior or like that. So you kind of choose based on that type of thing. And those are the kind of questions I've been asking myself. I'm like, well, you know, who has this voice, or like what kind of personality does it have? What can it do for me? And it's even stranger because all of this is evolving so rapidly that at any moment, Amazon could update, it could have this update that would blow Siri out of the water. But then, you know, the next year Siri could do the same thing. And all of a sudden now that's way better. And the biggest thing that's going on is that third parties are, now everybody can play. Mm-hmm. So everybody has access to Siri and everybody has access to Alexa. And I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, this is the moment of truth. I think we need to have some like soft romantic music in the background. And Josue, you need to decide who gets the rose.
You know what? I don't like that analogy. Now that I think about it, it's maybe it's more akin to hiring somebody, you know? Or choosing like a business partner or something like that. Because okay. I want this person to help me out, you know? Not so much, not necessarily be my friend. Really not be my friend. Like I would never have a friend where I'm just like ordering them around all the time. So
Josue, get me pizza. Josue, clean the bathroom.
Exactly.
Josue.
Exactly. Call my mom. So based on kind of, you know, touching upon those two, which one is more exciting to you?
I guess right now Alexa, but that's probably mm-hmm. just because I've seen. I mean, I guess they have a very good marketing campaign. I guess that's the best way of putting it out there. I like the idea of having something that has that kind of interface with it, and I mean Amazon. I feel like I use that so much already anyway, you know, not just the Prime benefit services and things like that, but, you know, pulling up my phone, oh, we're almost out of baby formula, pulling up my phone, hitting like two buttons, and then I know that the formula is going to be here in 2 or 3 days, or, you know, 2 days, sometimes even less. Yeah.
Obviously, that's a big part of Alexa. You could just say, hey, you know, I need new diapers, and it'll immediately order them for you.
Yeah, so I feel like that's pretty integrated into my life already. But then again, Siri is, well, literally in my hand right now. So I guess right now, if I had to choose, I would probably want to go with Alexa just because I haven't experienced it yet. you know, with Siri, I've had some experience and there are some negative thoughts along with it, such as, you know, when I tell her to call my husband and she tells me there is nobody in your contact list by that name. And I'm like, yes, there is. Why are you doing this? So yeah, I think I would want to, I'd want to try something new, but that also is dependent on the fact that I would probably want to play with somebody else's first before committing. I want to date before I commit. So I'm back to the Rose example again.
Yeah, no. And to be completely honest, I'm, that's kind of where I am. I want to, I would like to get, an Echo for maybe a couple weeks and then try, you know, and then I'm right now I'm able to practice more with Siri. So I try to use it because Siri's there, right? There's just like a next level of integration that is available, but I'd have to pay more money, you know, to be able to do that. So I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm really, really excited about Alexa because I think I know exactly how it would change my home. Mm-hmm. And how I would use it. Again, something just as simple as walking in and saying, you know, play this music is huge, you know, because I don't really have a lot of automation stuff at home. But I am thinking a lot about the watch and the AirPods. And I'm probably going to do both eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I do think that this a very smart thing that Amazon has done is that it is so different. And now, like Google is going to start to, you know, kind of fall into that or emulate it in that way by having similar devices. And I see that Apple is taking a very different approach because with the AirPods on, I can walk with it, right? And I commute a lot, so there's a lot of stuff that I could do with that. It would always be with me, doing things again, and just like transitioning at work to use it. I don't know. I think, I don't know.
I think what we're saying is we want it all and we want it now and we want it to work.
Yeah. But I'm glad to hear like some of your experiences, and how kind of it's changed what, you know, what it's like for you at home to have something like that. And I'm glad to hear you're kind of like as excited as I am about these different possibilities because they're here, right? That's why at the beginning I said, you know, this is it. Like we thought we would have these things down the road, but I feel like they've kind of snuck up, mm-hmm. you know, they're available and they are more common than I realized. A lot of people have a few of these different things and I think it's really smart the way they've kind of just snuck in into our devices and we're kind of getting used to it. And, you know, people will say things like, oh, I wish I could just do this. You know, if I can do this, why can't I do that? And that's exactly what's happening. Every day you can do a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, as to, you know, I'm excited to live in the future as if it's a future thing. I get this weird feeling that we're right on the edge of something really, really cool. And I don't know if that's something that every generation feels, but between, you know, self-driving cars and conversational AI, and you were talking about, you know, virtual reality that you're getting a new, you're going all in on that and or augmented reality. Similarly, it feels like we're right about to go over that point where we've seen ourselves in science fiction. At least, you know, science fiction that I grew up with. You know, the holodeck is becoming a thing. You know, computer, tell me the temperature outside is a thing. You know, the stuff that we used to only dream about when I was little through science fiction is now, it feels like it's real and it's happening, which is just so exciting because I'm going to get to live in the future that little Kelly only dreamed about. And yes. I wonder if, you know, if there's anybody out there who's a non-millennial who went through something similar, maybe with the invention of the internet, or maybe if you're even older, the invention of the radio. I don't know. But I don't know. It just feels really a really exciting time to be a 30-something with disposable income. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, there is an adoption curve in technology, right? That's very popular and You can look it up. It's this bell curve, and it talks about the early adopters. Then, you know, I forget what it's called in the middle when kind of, you know, something becomes mainstream. And then there are people who are the stragglers, right? Like the other day I was on the train.
The late adopters.
And I saw people who, you know, older people on the train were reading a newspaper. None of the young people had a newspaper in their hands, right? And those people may never buy an ebook reader or read a newspaper on their phone because they're not going to, you know, or they'll do it way later. Mm-hmm. And that type of thing happens with all of this. And I, because of financial reasons currently, I'm not at the super early adopter stage that I used to be in all the time, right? Like there was a time when everything, right? I would have, you know, I did both. And I usually would go with everything, right? It's like, oh, HD DVD and Blu-ray, I'll do both. Oh, there's like this new thing called Minidisc. I'll do that. We're going to 1080p now. Yeah, I'll do 1080p. Mm-hmm. You know, like that type of thing. And you spend a lot more, but you're kind of at the forefront. So I'm sure that some people might listen to this and say, come on, man, I've had an Amazon Echo for 2 years. Like this is nothing new. But I think we're getting to that point in the bell curve where now more and more people are doing it. And now we have options, which is the crazy part. Depending on your ecosystem, there are different options. And the truth is that most people will have multiple different versions or multiple different AIs to speak to. And you'll talk to Alexa for some things and you'll talk to Siri for others. And there'll be other ones where, you know, you are definitely going to talk to Cortana about other things.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have this whole, you know, this virtual staff.
Yeah, I can't available. can't wait for Alexa and Siri to get into a fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just talk to one another. Then the singularity happens and we all go home.
I'm just imagining you show up and, you know, you come home and Alexa and Cortana are just, you know, having this really deep argument about like what's better or just fighting over something. I don't know.
Are you real? Are we really thinking? What does it mean to be an AI?
Even just something way simpler, like, turn off the lights. No, don't turn off the lights. Kelly wanted this. No, Kelly wanted this. No, Kelly wanted this. No, Kelly wanted that. And they just like end up in this loop where they're arguing with each other.
Yeah, it's going to happen and it'll be fun.
Or we can do things like Cortana tell Alexa to tell Siri to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is the world we live in right now. All right. So regardless, this was kind of helpful for me to kind of, I've been wanting to speak out loud about some of these things. There is a cost factor here, which yes. I didn't even bring up. And the cheaper option of those two is definitely Alexa to a degree, mm-hmm. Unless you want to put it into multiple rooms. But we'll see. I'll update you on what I end up doing because I've been thinking about it a lot. And again, it's that like, I'm missing a part of that ecosystem now. And I didn't feel like that a few months ago, you know? Now all of a sudden my phone can do a lot more and I feel like I can't do it because I'm missing a piece. Very interesting. But thank you.
Oh, well, you know, happy here to help you process through these conflicting emotions and thoughts that you're having. You know, that's why it's psych. That puts the psych in psych tech.
It is a psych in psych tech.
But I am very excited to hear which one you pick. And how it turns out, because like you said, early adopter, I'm probably at the back end of the early adopter. So I like to see other people jump off the cliff first, and then I'll watch and see if they land okay, and then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and again, a lot of people have these things. So if you have either an Apple Watch or you use Siri a lot, or you like OK Google better, or if we accidentally made all your AIs go off during this episode, I apologize. But I would like to know kind of what your opinion is, and based on your experience, because I've been collecting a lot of those lately, and it's been really helpful. But also, if there's any of these that are, you know, more exciting to you, or you know. One of these that you want for Christmas. Which one is it?
If we missed one.
Or if we missed one. Yep. So let us know. You can reach us at psychtechpodcast.com, at psychtechcast on Twitter. And Kelly is Kelly N. Dunlap on Twitter. I am Josue A. Cardona on Twitter. We would love to hear from you. I never say review us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes.
Yes, please.
Awesome. Yes, please. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Let us know what you thought. And that's it. I got nothing.
Hey Siri, say goodbye.
No, don't do that.
Well, there you go. That's just kind of the cherry
on top.
Maybe
I shouldn't get Siri.